Elias Talk was a far from happy man. As a sec man for Baron Tad Hutter, he had been selected to drive the leading wag leaving Summerfield, laden with food supplies and seed crops, and headed for the rendezvous point. He wasn't anticipating much trouble from the sec forces accompanying the convoy from Charity. They'd be too busy keeping the women they were bringing to trade in line. What's more, the device Hutter had his men rig on each wag would more than dissuade them. For on each of the wags carrying crops or supplies, a very obvious primitive flamethrower had been erected, pointing down toward the merchandise loaded on the wag. One wrong move, and everything Charity wanted and needed so desperately would be torched. So the problems wouldn't come from that quarter. There were more likely to be problems with the rest of the Summerfield sec wanting to stop and screw all the women they picked up from Charity before the convoy reached base again. That wouldn't go down well with Hutter, as the women were to be saved for breeding stock, and they weren't to be touched or damaged in any way. The women from Summerfield had proved barren for some time, and new blood was necessary if the Ville was to survive. However, that wouldn't stop some of the sec men going on the rampage if the rumors proved true, and the daughter of Baron Al Jurgensen was part of the trade. Not yet 16, still a virgin, and supposed to be a looker. But that wasn't the problem that occupied Elias Tulk. He actually didn't care whether the girl was raped and possibly chilled. Hutter wouldn't be able to stop it on his own, even though he sat beside Tulk right now with an Uzi across his lap and a Sharps slung across his back. Elias Tulk was not a happy man because of the chemstorm. The interference was so bad that he had been unable to contact Papa Joe and let him know that the convoy had left as planned, undeterred by the aftermath of the storm. The radio that Carell had given him when he had first been recruited by the Hellbenders was now lying in his bunk back in Summerfield. It was too risky to carry it with him, and it had proved useless earlier that morning when he had made one last attempt at contact. Tulk had been recruited by a Hellbender rec mission, and he was willing to change sides and act undercover because Hutter had taken Tulk's wife for his own, simply because he took a fancy to her. But the woman had been unwilling, and for her disloyalty to the Baron, Hutter had made Tulk shoot her in the head. The memory of her eyes staring imploringly into his own as he squeezed the trigger and blew her brains from the side of her head still haunted him. He hated himself for not refusing the Baron, and hated the Baron for obvious reasons. Tulk didn't care whether he died on this day, only that Hutter's little empire should collapse. Which was why he was concerned about not being able to contact the Hellbenders. He hoped that they would take the same chance as Hutter, and set off anyway. The concern had to have shown on his face as he piloted the wag across the desert, for Hutter noticed it.
Elias, you look like something's troubling you, boy. Why don't you tell your old daddy what it is now?
Nothing much, Baron.
The Baron thought of himself as the father of his people, the sort of father who raped and chilled his own daughters at will and delighted in setting man against man to divide and conquer any opposition against him in the Ville. Tulk knew how much Hutter was anticipating Ayesha's arrival and had almost walked in on the Baron, masturbating while he repeated her name like a mantra. Hutter was a large man, standing over 6 feet with long gray hair and matching beard, and nursing a huge gut. He sat uneasily on the narrow wag seat, in visual contrast with Tulk, who was a few inches shorter and lean, with sharply defined musculature under his olive skin. His dark, saturnine brow remained fixed on the road ahead, not wishing to give anything away until the time he could gain his vengeance.
Say, you ain't actually afeard about what we're gonna do, are you?
Why would I be, Baron?
I don't know. Maybe it's just that you don't have the balls for this sort of thing. Maybe I should be thinking about demoting you. But then again, if you ain't worth where you are now, then why would you be worth anything in this sec force?
Tulk sighed inwardly, but kept a stone face. This was one of Hutter's more irritating tactics, part of his divide-and-rule philosophy with his sec force. If he set one against another, and kept petty rivalries and jealousies afloat, keeping them at one another's throats, it was easier for him to keep control over them all, as none would ever form alliances to end the Baron's reign. Except, thought Tulk, if they chose to align themselves with an outside force. Emboldened with anticipation, Tulk spoke his mind for once.
Maybe I'm not worth anything, Baron, but just maybe no one else is either. Because we've never had the chance to be a proper sec force.
Hutter was silent for a moment. Confusion knitted his brow. The one thing that had never occurred to him was that one of his sec crew may actually talk back to him. Confusion gave way to anger, and his hands tightened around the Uzi he cradled in his lap. From the corner of his eye, Tolk saw that, and allowed the ghost of a triumphant smile to flicker across his face.
I wouldn't think about that, Baron. You chill me now, and who's gonna drive the wag? You certainly can't. And besides, by the time you clean the wag out and throw my body out, plus get it back on track after pitching my body is throwing it off course, you'll be late. And then you'd lose face. And we can't have that, can we?
No, we can't.
Hutter's eyes bored into Tolk with the cold flint of hatred. Elias Tolk wouldn't be going back to Summerfield. Tolk ignored the Baron and tried to keep the smile from his face, although inside he felt more elation and freedom than he had for, well, for probably all his life. He too knew that he wouldn't be going back to Summerfield, at least not with Baron Tad Hutter, but for a different reason. Tolk drove on with Hutter beside him, sunk into a brooding and heavy silence. Toward the rear of the wag sat two other sec men, who had listened in bewilderment to the exchange that had just taken place. Neither would ever risk their lives by talking to Hutter in such a manner, knowing that there were always other sec men willing to do the Baron's bidding. So the fact that Tolk had just as good as committed suicide in front of them made them both feel uneasy about the mission ahead. They weren't the only ones. Aisha shifted uncomfortably on her seat. It wasn't the wooden bench, hard and unwelcoming as the wag bumped over the rutted road surface, that made her squirm uneasily. It was the closed flick knife that she had concealed about her person before the women had been gathered and put into the wag, where they now sat huddled and crammed together, 10 on each side of the armored wag, with 3 sekmen on hand, one to drive, one to ride shotgun, and one to man the machine blasters that were mounted through slots in the side of the armored wag. It was stiflingly hot, as the wag offered no protection from the beating sun, the heat gathering on the bare metal of the roof and sides, turning the interior into an oven. The women sat in mostly sullen silence, with only the odd complaint, slapped down hard by the sec men, sometimes with a word, sometimes with a back of the hand. It was also dark in the enclosed wag, and in the poor light, Aisha could study the downturned and trammeled faces of the women, and the anxiety on the face of the sec man who sat with them in the rear of the vehicle. Because of the gloom, she could do this without being observed too closely. Baron Al had trusted none of the women or their men. Many of them had husbands and lovers who had been unwilling to let the women go. They had been persuaded otherwise by force or threats, but as the women themselves were also unwilling, incredibly so in the eyes of Baron Al, it was more than possible that, starving as they were, the men and women involved would hatch some kind of plan for escape. So the Baron ordered that each of the women be strip-searched before she got on board the wag. In the middle of the old sports arena where the wags had been prepared, the women were gathered and stripped naked, their ragged clothes examined for any weapons they may conceal. The sec man conducted the cavity searches, Baron Al joining in this part of the search, which he saw as a bit of extra fun for him and his men. Except when it came to Aisha. She was stripped like the others, but because she was Baron Al's daughter, and the prize of the merchandise because of her virginity, none of the sekmen assembled conducted cavity searches. One wrong word, one wrong move, the slightest touch of blood proving that she had been despoiled, and thus taking the prize away, and the sekmen knew that Baron Al was likely to come down hard on them. So when it was her turn to be searched bodily, Baron Al stepped forward himself.
You better not be trying to shit me, girl.
Now why would I do that, Father?
You know, I'm just gonna have to trust that you've got nothing up yourself, or that you never have. But I can still see.
And before the girl had a chance to move, he bent over and thrust his fingers up her anal passage, probing as his sec man had with the other women to see if there were any weapons concealed.
Oh, you bastard!
Shit.
Although she was empty in that orifice, Aisha clenched the muscles in her pelvic floor and prayed that he wouldn't be able to feel the knife she had concealed in herself before leaving his palace. It was a slim mother-of-pearl-handled knife with a rapier-thin blade that she had honed until it drew blood from her fingertips with the slightest of pressure. It would be a formidable weapon in an enclosed space, where the Sekhmen would be unwilling to use their blasters. The only thing she had to worry about was whether it would open involuntarily before she could remove it. Of course, the internal hemorrhaging would probably cause her to die, so she wouldn't have much to worry about in that event. Baron Al had withdrawn his fingers.
I don't know whether or not to be disappointed in you. I'd expect more trouble from any daughter of mine.
Glad I let you down, then.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
In a world plagued by terrorism, drastic times call for drastic measures. To fight America's invisible enemies, an agency is needed that isn't exactly bound by the rules. Stony Man. Only from Cutting Audio.